You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di, hi-di-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-di-di, hi-di-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your reader, Carmen.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Gordy.
Episode 56.
Woo! You gonna make it alive through this one?
Not if Cricket has anything to say about it.
See? Yeah, now I have a cat.
Now she's a lap cat, because she wants wafer bites.
She is a lap cat.
She wants what is basically flour and cheese, and I don't know why. She stuck her head practically in my mouth when I was trying it out.
Yeah.
It's like a reverse lion.
So, I'm going to read a folktale to you gentlemen that you've never heard before.
Why are you doing that?
I don't know, because I don't like you guys or myself very much.
What could we possibly gain from doing that?
Well, these things tend to be kind of weird, and you guys heckle like crazy, which I know is one of your favorite pastimes.
I do like doing that.
They are weird. You know how people say it's like a fairy tale to mean something's good?
Yeah, you're wrong.
That's very wrong.
We're here to dispel that myth.
Yeah, if nothing else, that is a service that we provide.
Right. Everyone stop making those fancy word posters in the nice fonts about life being a fairy tale, or you wish your prince would come, because if he comes, he's going to steal you out of a field, and then his stepmother's going to try and get you burned alive.
The next time I see a poster for a fairy tale wedding, I'm going to crash it, roll an apple at them, and then chop up the bride. And say you're welcome.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Just crank this to 11.
This episode is brought to you by frequent interruptions from the cat who wants to eat some people snacks.
Maybe I should put these away so she doesn't lose her little mind.
It is also actually brought to us by someone.
Boop, 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 boop.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
This episode is brought to you by Jump Kick Punch, another podcast.
They're a great one. You should go listen to them.
They're a great one, and they're also here in Atlanta.
Does that mean that they own us?
In a way.
For this episode, they do.
They've claimed a stake in this one episode. If, for instance, you, the listener, appreciate it when Gordy and I start talking about cartoons or video games or Dragon Ball extensively, you should go listen to Jump Kick Punch, because it's like 2 more hours of that.
That is their specialty.
Bi-weekly.
And Jump Kick Punch is Arne Tonson type 518, big fight over magic things, if that tells you anything about their podcast.
That's a pretty straightforward description of their show, I think.
AKA video games.
So thank you, Jump Kick Punch. And everyone, go check out their podcast. Tyler has guest podcasted on them.
A couple times, yeah. For E3.
So today, we are going to Poland.
What are we doing there?
We are reading Prince Unexpected.
Who?
Prince Unexpected.
He lives up to his name.
Yeah,
already.
I didn't see that coming.
That was not what I thought we were going to do.
Prince Unexpected is Arne Tonson type 313A, girl as helper in the hero's flight.
We've had one of those.
We have.
Was it, which one? I was going to say Trusty John, but...
No.
Greenish?
That was the no. Petrified Friend.
Yeah.
It's not Greenish Bird, is
Greenish
it?
Greenish Bird was the East of the Sun, West of the Moon type. Nope, it wasn't that one. It was one of our early ones.
Yeah.
And I've already forgotten all of those folktales. Slate wiped clean, year two.
Crime and Punishment.
What was this?
Who knows? Go find it in our episodes and then tell us, because we don't know. That'll be a fun game for everybody.
The first person to tell us gets a happy response.
you earned yourself a thumbs up emoticon on Facebook. Won't your mom be proud?
Well, it's the same thing that got Coney out of Africa, so don't knock it.
A thumbs up on Facebook?
A lot of them. We should bring that back. Remember Coney 2012?
Yeah.
Should bring it back.
To what end?
Just for memories.
Coney specifically, or should we target someone else that we don't like?
Should we send Coney somewhere and then try and bring him back?
Like Shkreli 16.
Maybe we should have one of those every year.
Be the next Amazing Race TV show, except neither of those things.
Could it just be The Amazing Race with all of these people? Like, I would like to watch Coney and Martin Shkreli competing on The Amazing Race.
So that's what this story is about, right? Roughly?
Sure. This one is sourced from Fairy Tales of Eastern Europe, selected and retold by Neil Philip.
Thanks, Neil.
And that's all I got. Let's go to Poland.
Okay.
Once there was a king and queen who had been married for 3 years, but they had no kids, and they were pretty bummed about this.
They were just going at it for 3 years straight?
I guess.
That's surprisingly normal.
Otherwise, they're being lazy about it, and it's probably partly on them.
Yeah.
This was before sex ed. It was in a time where you just had to guess.
Just kind of rub up against each other.
Yeah.
Like, is this... are we doing it right? No one showed me a diagram. At one point, the king found himself obligated to go inspect his dominions, and he left the queen and was off for 8 months.
Can he, hire a guy to do that?
It was quite a dominion to personally inspect.
He's gotta do the full inspection. He's got a huge checklist at each city.
He's gotta go to every restaurant and make sure they sweep up at night.
Right. Follow up, you know, if he's had to do temporary shutdowns pending fixing the problems to get them up from D grade.
He's got to check the day since accident calendar at every factory.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. So
being king is rough.
He's off for 8 months, and then on the 9th month, he started to return from his progress to the country.
That's exactly how long it takes to make a baby.
Weird. I'm sure that's unrelated.
He was already hard by his capital city, is how this is phrased. I think that means he can't find it very easily.
Hard by?
Yeah.
How much should he be trusted to inspect everything if he can't find the capital?
He is royalty who has left his playpen. I think maybe he just has to be there as the enforcer while more qualified people do the actual work.
So he's a figurehead.
Right.
Okay.
And because he'd been traveling over an uninhabited plain during the most scorching heat of summer, he felt a great thirst and sent his servants around to find water. The servants sought in vain for an hour and returned without success. The king decides if you want to do something right, you do it yourself, so he traverses the whole plain far and wide, not believing that there couldn't be a spring somewhere. He finds, on a level spot in which previously no water was, a well with a new wooden fence around it and a silver cup and golden handle floating inside of it.
Ready for the taking.
The king hops the fence and tries to grab the cup, but the cup darts away like a fish. He tries to catch it.
Was it a fish?
Huh?
Was it actually a fish?
No, it was a cup.
And he's just delirious?
It's just a cup.
Some new species of cup-shaped fish?
Yeah, it's the cupfish. Related to the swordfish and the butterknife fish.
They live in wells as a camouflage to escape predators.
He tries catching it, but it dodges every move he makes. So the king says, screw this, I'll drink without a cup. He bends down to the water and drinks. He's got a long beard, which hung down to his belt, and it dropped into the water. And when he tried to stand up, something was holding on to his beard.
It's that damn cup again, probably.
He can't pull it away, so he shouts, who's there? Let go.
I'm drowning.
Just into the water.
Yeah. A voice responds from the depths of the well. It is I, king of the underworld, immortal Boney.
Whoa, hold on. Can we just let that...
percolate.
Let that sink in for a second. Can you say that sentence again?
It is I, the king of the underworld, immortal Boney. I'm imagining him as Papyrus.
Yeah, me
too. I'm imagining him as Immortan Joe.
That too.
That
Immortan Papyrus is kind of my...
I think that is the single best fairy tale name.
Immortal Boney?
Yes.
Thus far, yeah.
If there is...
Do you want a fun fact about Immortal Boney, or do you want that to wait till later?
I don't think I can wait.
Sure.
So
go for it.
Remember Koschei the Deathless?
Yeah.
This is who that is.
This is a way better name for him.
This is another name for Koschei the Deathless.
So far.
He was in a Russian tale, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so far,
get it together, Russia. Poland is beating the shit out of you right now.
So far, Poland is way ahead on the leaderboards.
Poland just pulled your damn pants down, Russia.
Coast is a Russian word meaning bone, hence this translation.
In the worldwide folklore combative showdown, Poland is way, way ahead.
Yeah, Poland's name game is strong, and that's not the only thing that Poland has going for it in this tale.
If we are ever to make some kind of folklore-based video game, I think the protagonist should be immortal Boney.
And he should look like Papyrus with a Morton Joe's face mask.
Yeah, none of that is copyrighted.
Not when you smash them together.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to cram so much stuff together that nobody can see what is copywritten anymore.
That's why unicorns aren't copyrighted.
Yeah, because they put a horse and a narwhal together, and it became a whole new thing. Horses and narwhals were individually copyrighted, so they had to use bits and pieces of both.
Probably by Disney.
Yeah. That's what DRM does.
Copyrights entire species.
Mm-hmm.
Digital rights menagerie.
Yeah, if you want to use parts of animals for things, you have to license them. And they can be retracted at any time.
Immortal Boney, and I shall not let you go till you give me that which you left unknowingly at home and which you do not expect to find on your return. The king looks down and sees in the well a huge head like a tub with green eyes and a mouth going from ear to ear, holding his beer with crab claws and laughing mischievously.
Whoa.
So, I like that this guy is given this decree that I'm not gonna let you go till you give me the thing that you left unknowingly and don't expect.
I like that Boney is just waiting right here to do this to someone.
Yeah. He made this well to trap somebody.
With crab claws.
Yeah. And he's just laughing. And he said
this. I mean, it would be hilarious if it actually worked.
And then he's just laughing.
I'd be way into that too. Like, holy shit. I didn't expect it to work this quickly. Like, I set this up yesterday.
The king thought that anything he left unknowingly and didn't expect couldn't be of much value, and he agrees. Immortal Boney bursts into laughter and vanishes with a flash of fire. The well, the water, the fence, and the cup also vanished. No word on the golden spoon thing, which just, I guess, was around and didn't matter.
But he let him go.
Yes.
All right. If that's how Immortal Boney wants to run his business, then that's up to him, but it's not how Trump got where he is today.
You're saying he should have asked for, like, half up front.
Yeah, he should have asked for collateral.
Maybe he took some beard chunk.
It's hard to return.
The king crosses himself, jumps on his horse, and returns to the attendants. And they ride on until they get to...
Who did not attempt to help him.
They weren't around. The king was screw you guys.
He was, like, that far away from them.
Yeah, he's like, screw you guys. You can't find water. I'm basically a human dowsing rod. See you later.
When he got back, was he just like, hey, guys, nothing happened to me. Let's go.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, he does not tell them anything.
Nothing's wrong. I'm very happy. Let's get on our horses and leave this place.
In about a week or a fortnight, the king comes to the capital. And
he did not solve their water problem.
He got water.
He solved his water problem.
Yeah, but he did not solve anybody else's water problem.
He was thirsty. That's all he cared about. All
right.
He sent them looking
as
for
king,
water.
As king, that's as far as his, like, planning goes.
And who knows? Maybe the servants did find this well and drank from it, and Immortal Boney's like, hey, go get the king.
It would be a sweet twist if Immortal Boney caught
all of them individually. And none of them told each other because they were too embarrassed.
And they've all... promised one of the other people to him or something.
Yeah, let's go with that. That makes sense.
They've all promised him a part of a golden dinner set. That's all he wants.
A dinner set and whatever this thing is.
He's just old Greg.
He just wants some Baileys. Just bring me some Baileys.
And this shoe.
That's right. That was a thing.
So when the king gets home, the queen awaits him with a new baby. And the king realizes...
That was unexpected.
I knew it.
Oh, he's in some deep shit now. The
hey,
king...
do you think it's the baby that he's supposed to bring him?
Yeah.
You think that might be it?
Yeah, that's what...
Because he didn't really know that he left a baby at home.
Right. Uh-huh.
And he didn't expect it when he came back.
Yeah, so I bet that's my guess for now.
No, it's a wine carafe.
So this is... You were proposing basically, like... Immortal Boney's antique roadshow. Like, people just bring him whatever junk they have in their garage and he's gonna appraise it for them.
Yeah, basically. Or and if more, that junk is a human child. Well.
But, yeah, appraise it against his own values. Like, not the actual value of the thing.
That would also be a good show.
Immortal Boney values this at 10 pence.
If the roadshow host just said what they would pay for it. Like, I'd give you $10 for this.
I mean, well, that's just Pawn Stars.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
This is Immortal Boney's Pawn Stars.
The king takes the son from the queen and carries him into the palace, presumably without a word. Like, just silently like, grabs his baby.
Oh, hey, wife, let me... I need... This is my son? Hold on a minute.
He lays the son in a cradle and suppresses his sorrow and devotes himself to governing his realm. But he's never his old cheery self again because he's tormented by the thought that someday Boney will come to claim his son.
Boney comes for us all in the end.
Yep. So he's not going to take the son to Boney. He's just going to wait.
It's a good strategy, I guess.
The years pass and no one comes. The prince, who's named Unexpected...
Rolls off the tongue.
Yep.
Maybe they just assumed he wouldn't be with them long. Like, well, it doesn't matter.
We'll give him a stupid name. No one will really miss him.
Yeah, but at that point, why not just call him, like, Whoopso? Or something quicker than Unexpected.
That's basically what you're telling him. Like, oh, son, you were an accident.
Son, I named you blank because I thought that's what you were. And I was wrong.
Prince Unexpected grew and developed into a handsome youth. The king began
unexpectedly.
Yeah, they're going to lose, like, primo child stock.
The king began to forget what had happened with Immortal Boney, but that didn't mean that everyone forgot.
No one else knew.
Well, Immortal Boney knew.
Right, but, like, nobody else knows that this is happening.
This also, I am not convinced that if that happened to you, you would be able to forget that. Because that sounded nuts.
Even
this crazy smiling crab face man.
Even like 18 years after the fact.
Yeah, maybe. Held you by the beard.
I mean,
threatening to drown you.
Maybe he kind of waved it off as just dehydration hallucinations.
Yeah. His mind's now full of happy memories of his son growing up. And so that's kind of crammed out.
Sure.
Memories of his kingdom, his own childhood.
I still feel like that would stick around on the back burner.
He probably has nightmares. One day the prince goes hunting in the forest, and in true prince fashion, gets separated from everyone else. He sees before him a hideous old man with green eyes, and the man says, "How do you do, Prince Unexpected? You have made me wait for you for a long time."
Stranger danger.
This is exactly what your parents are warning you about.
The prince asks, "Who are you?" And the man replies, "You'll find out. But now, when you return to your father, greet him from me, and tell him that I should be glad if he would close accounts with me. For if he doesn't soon get out of my debt, he will repent it bitterly."
Beware of strangers unless they say their name is Immortal Boney, because that's the most awesome person you could get taken away by.
Immortal Boney is a cool customer. He is on top of his stuff.
He's definitely smoking in this scene. And he's got...
Just wait, he's not even the coolest.
Alright, let's see.
I mean, he's the coolest name, definitely. I don't want to get your hopes up there, but he's not the coolest character.
Okay.
This guy disappears, and the prince rides home to tell the king about the stranger who talked to him in the woods. The king goes pale and tells his son all about the beard release bargain. Don't kings carry, like, knives and stuff usually?
Or who sword? Knows?
Yeah, you'd think.
Some kind of sharp implement to cut the beard.
Or just rip it. Like,
That is a limitless resource.
The point... I know that the point was that he didn't expect to have this baby, but that is a hard conversation to have with your son.
Yeah.
Is, sorry, kid, before you were born, I traded you for my beard so that I could keep it.
You were an accident, in my defense.
I traded you for my cool Billy Gibbons looks when I was younger. I was in a ZZ Top cover band.
But, Dad, you've been shaving for years. It got itchy. I didn't want it anymore.
Maybe he can still give him beard instead.
How about a beard now?
The prince says to his dad, "Don't cry. It's all good. I shall manage to force Boney to renounce the right over me. But if I don't come back within a year, we probably won't see each other anymore."
If I don't come back, I've failed.
The prince prepped for his journey. The king gave him a suit of steel armor, a sword, a horse, and the queen gave him a cross of pure gold, which is the most prepared anyone has actually been for any kind of journey up until this point.
Yeah, those are all... That's a solid toolkit.
About, like, rations?
I mean, maybe, but it's better than iron shoes, iron staff, iron hat, iron bread, or old cheese and trapped bird. Which has been...
In a wallet.
Yeah. Which has been our journeying provisions thus far. The prince rides for 4 days and then comes to the shore of the sea. In the bay, he sees 12 white dresses, but sees no living souls other than 12 white geese.
Cool.
Curious, he steals one of the dresses just to see what happens. He conceals himself in the dress in a thicket and watches...
His quick cross-dressing break?
No, he's not putting it on. He's...
He conceals himself
covers
in it.
Him in it.
And the dress.
I thought that you meant that he had wrapped himself in the dress like Harry Potter's invisible rug.
No, he just drags it behind him into a thicket. From the thicket, he watches 11 of the geese swim to shore, turn into beautiful girls, dress with speed, and fly into the plane.
Well, that answers one question I was formulating, was if this was a crossover with the Geese Boys from earlier.
The 12th and prettiest goose.
Oh.
Didn't come to shore, and just wistfully stretched out her neck, looking on all sides. She sees the prince and calls out in a human voice, "Prince Unexpected, give me my dress. I will be grateful to you in return." The prince places the dress on the grass.
Not the cutest of meats.
Give me my dress, pervert.
The prince places the dress on the grass and modestly turns away in another direction. She came out of the water, changed into a girl, dressed hastily, and then stood before the prince. She was more beautiful than the eye had seen or ear had heard of. Blushing, she gave him her white hand, cast her eyes down, and said in a pleasing voice, "Thank you for hearkening to me. I am the youngest daughter of a mortal Boney. He has 12 young daughters and rules beneath the earth. My father has long been waiting for you and is very angry. But don't grieve."
That's never the first thing you want to hear from a girl. "My dad's been waiting for you, and he's very angry."
This kind of softens the whole deal, though.
What do you mean?
That he has 12 hot daughters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But don't grieve or be frightened, and do exactly what I tell you.
Don't be scared, but he is really, really mad at you.
He does have a shotgun.
He's also immortal. And named Boney.
And a bone man.
When you see him, fall on your knees, and, paying no attention to his outcry, upbraiding, and threats, approach him boldly. What will happen afterward, you will learn.
You have to hit him on the nose.
Like a shark?
Yeah, or a bear. Or maybe that's just sharks.
But,
I don't know.
But we should try it on a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems worth grant money.
Hey, bear, stand still. Are you a shark? Let's see.
What will happen afterward, you will
I like
learn.
That grand proposal. Are bears sharks?
Because what defines a shark is primarily its reaction when hit on the nose.
Its nose poppability.
Not its cartilaginous skeleton.
Whatever other data you can compile.
Or not how many teeth it has.
Its marine adaptations.
Yeah, habitat, none of that matters.
What will happen afterward, you will learn. But now we must part. And that doesn't sound concerning at all.
Yeah, but what can you do?
I mean, nothing. Because on saying this, the princess stamped on the ground, and it sprang open, and they descended through the earth right into Boney's palace.
It's just like a trapdoor in the earth.
Yeah, she just, like, coolly, 1 foot down on the ground, now they're in hell, basically.
All right.
And though underground, Boney's palace shone brighter than the sun. So I guess she leaves, and the prince steps boldly into the reception room.
On his knees?
Not yet.
I like that. He has to shuffle in on his knees.
He's not on his knees yet, but he sees Boney sitting on the golden throne with a glittering crown on his head. As soon as he sights Boney from a distance, he falls to his knees. Boney yells so horribly that the vaults of his underground realm quaked, but the prince boldly moved forward on his knees toward the throne.
He's not saying anything, he's just letting out guttural noises.
Wordlessly screaming while the prince scoots forward on his knees.
Yep, in the shiny, shiny palace wearing a gold crown. Still with his claws.
Crab claws?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still the same looking thing.
Is he just him from the Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of. Sounds right.
Is that where him came
but with
from?
With green eyes.
Okay.
When the prince gets only a few paces from the throne, the king smiles and said, "You are lucky. You have succeeded in making me smile. You may remain in my realm, boy that I bartered for. But before you become a true citizen, you must fulfill 3 commands of mine."
Wait, what? Hold on. Immortal Boney wanted him to come here.
Yeah, but...
You can't just ask someone over and then make them jump through hoops to come inside.
Immortal Boney is the worst playdate.
I'm not sure that that's what this is.
Also, that sounds like a fake cheat code that you would tell someone. Like, you have to do this stupid task, and it's the only way to make him smile, apparently.
Yep.
That's like Metal Gear Solid 1 stuff.
Yeah.
He has a very specific sense of humor,
I guess. And it's also unexpected, because he's going to, for all intents and purposes, he will appear to be hating what you're doing up until the point that you've completed doing it.
Yeah.
In which case, it is this favorite thing. That's not, like, good, positive reinforcement. Like, he is kicking and screaming the entire time.
I mean, to be fair, it is pretty funny to imagine, like, this king crab monster sitting on his throne, just yelling in one breath, with the castle shaking around him, while this normal prince boy shuffles forward on his knees without changing expression at all.
I'm imagining him just kind of like lounging sideways in his throne, just staring expressionlessly at the prince while he tells jokes or like does impressions or something, until finally he hits on like that one magic thing that makes him just giggle like an idiot.
So, yeah, to become a true citizen, you must fulfill 3 commands of mine. Now it's late, though, so go to your room and we'll just begin this tomorrow.
I have no reaction.
Boney is a capricious zephyr.
He's a capricious wind?
Yeah. Like, he just bops from topic to topic.
Just does what his heart tells him.
Yeah, he is all over the place.
So the prince slept comfortably in the apartment that was prepared for him, and in the early morning, Boney summoned him and said, "All right, let's see what you can do. In the course of the following night, you must build me a palace of pure marble with crystal windows and a gold roof and an elegant garden and garden seats and fountains. If you build it, you gain my love. If not, I command that your head be cut off."
Glad his parents prepared him for this.
I'm glad, like, Boney wanted him so much, just so he could make him do impossible tasks and or behead him. The prince returned to his apartment and sat mournfully, thinking of the death that awaited him, when...
that's nice. That's optimistic.
That sounds like a 20-something.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna try. Screw this. When outside the window, a bee came buzzing and said, "Let me in."
"No, you're a bee. I'm allergic."
He opened the lattice, the bee flew in, and the princess appeared before him and asked, "Hey, what are you thinking about?" He tells her that her father wants to kill him.
Hold on a second.
It's really helpful.
Weren't you a duck earlier?
She was a goose.
That's the same thing. They're more the same thing than a bee.
That's true. Yeah, she can just be what she wants.
Oh, that's the bee is the princess?
Yeah, the bee turned into a princess.
Somehow.
She's a badass.
That was also unexpected. And also, I stopped listening for a second.
She tells him not to be afraid. Just go to sleep, and when you wake up, your palace will be ready. He goes to sleep, and when he wakes up, the palace is ready.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah, sounds like another...
Bread Town.
That's what I was thinking of.
Was that the...
That's the
that was
the
one
frog.
With Koschei the Deathless in it, I think.
Yeah, but was that the girl helper, Arne Thompson?
No, because it wasn't in the Hero's Flight. It was the one with the river drinker.
The Mastermaid?
Yeah, Mastermaid was Girl's Helper in the Hero's Flight.
That's right.
So Boney couldn't believe his own eyes when he sees this palace and says, "Well, you won this time, but now you must fulfill my second command. I shall place all my daughters before you, and if you can't guess which is the youngest, I will put your head beneath the axe."
At least, like, coming from Boney... contextually, the tasks make more sense, because he's an insane demigod, and not just a czar asking stupid things.
He's in a much better position to be demanding this stuff.
Yeah, he just wants human princes every now and then for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
The prince wonders how difficult this could possibly be when he was back alone in his room.
He should and just ask.
The princess...
Like, ask his friend tonight.
The princess, who I guess... came along with him. The princess answers from outside the room, "This," and then flies into his room as a bee again, and turns back into a princess and says, "That if I don't help you, you won't recognize me, for we are all so alike that even our father only distinguishes us by our dress." Even though she's the prettiest?
And a bee. And not a goose.
I mean, she'll be a people at this task. He asks what he's supposed to do, and she says, "What indeed?" "The youngest will be the one over whose right eye you see a ladybug. Just keep your eyes open. Good luck."
What?
All right.
I like to think of her as smoking one of those, like, long lady cigarettes every time she talks to him. I'm just not caring. In the morning, King Boney again summoned Prince Unexpected, and all the princesses stood in a row. The prince marveled at how alike they all were, and he had to go past twice without finding the appointed token. But on the third time, he does see the ladybug and says, "Oh, hey, it's this one. She's the youngest." "How the deuce have you guessed it?" said Boney angrily, and suddenly speaking in the tones of Mr. Rochester from the Jane Eyre.
You know, this would be, like, the most passive video game ever made. You wouldn't really do anything in this game.
It's a walking simulator.
Pretty much. It's just, you just go where people tell you to go, which I guess is a lot of games, but you don't really do much when you get there.
Boney is smarter than a lot of other people who've set their prince captives to weird tasks, and says, "There must be some trickery here. I must deal with your lordship differently. In 3 hours, you will come here again, and you will show your cleverness in my presence. I shall light a straw, and you will stitch a pair of boots before it goes out. And if you don't do it, you will perish."
From what?
From the straw?
Nope, just stitch just boots.
Oh, okay.
The straw is the timer. When the straw burns down, those boots have to be finished.
If you really wanted to stump him, you should not tell him the task in advance.
Yeah, that is less cleverness and more dexterity of fingers.
This guy might be, like, a bomb tailor.
The prince returns to his apartment despondent. The bee is already there and asks him what's wrong. He tells her that her father wants him to make boots, and he's not a cobbler. And she says, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he says, "What am I supposed to do? I can't stitch, but I'm not afraid of death, since you can only die once."
I was kind of hoping you would do it for me, bee lady.
It's like, you did the first two. Are you holding out on number three?
I was kind of expecting to come back here, and you have it figured out already.
She says, "Nah, you won't die. I will try to rescue you, and we'll either escape together or perish together. We must flee. There's nothing else to be done. I can't really help you with this task. King Boney has set a good one."
Yeah, way to go, Boney. I'm still rooting for him above everyone else. Like, he is a fairy tale character who has developed a task that the hero could not complete.
On saying this, the princess spat on one of the window panes, and her spittle immediately froze.
Is this just for emphasis?
Maybe.
I'm just gonna let that go.
I like the widening of your eyes at that one, though. She's okay. A badass. She don't give a shit. Princes don't care. Then she went out of the room with the prince, locked the door after her, and threw the key far away. Just, like, chucked it.
We don't need to come back here.
And then, taking each other by the hand, they ascended rapidly. She pulls him back up into the upper world, like she had done, you know, she stamped the ground and they descended. Yeah, she does that, but the opposite. And in a moment, they found themselves in the very spot from which they had descended into the underground realm.
Is Poland just the Mushroom Kingdom?
Essentially.
Even the prince's horse is still in the meadow.
Oh.
So they've
been waiting a while.
Huh.
I think it's well fed. I think they mentioned that.
Or is it a time paradox thing, where time passes slower on the surface?
Maybe that. They jump onto the horse and they set up. At the appointed hour, King Boney didn't wait for Prince Unexpected to come, but sent to ask him why he had not already appeared. Finding the door lock, the servants knocked vigorously, and the frozen spittle answered them in the prince's voice, "I'm coming."
That's a good trick, I guess.
Servants carry...
That's also a way better indicator than a tie on the door.
The servants carried the answer to the king, who waited and waited. When still no prince came, he sent the servants again, and the spit once again says, "I'm coming." They come back and tell the king, who is wrathful, and says, "Does he mean to make fun of me? Go break the door down and bring him." The servants go, and they break the door down, but no one's in the room, and the spittle on the pane of glass starts splitting with laughter at them.
So it's sentient.
Yes. The princess has sentient frozen spittle.
It it's self-replicating, we might be looking at a Grey Goose scenario.
Boney almost burst with rage and ordered all the servants to start off in pursuit, threatening them with death if they returned empty-handed. Meanwhile, the prince...
He throws that around a lot.
Yeah.
He's not made good on it once, though.
I mean, the prince has... Everyone has fulfilled their end of the bargain up until this point. The king eventually gave the prince to him.
Right.
So didn't have to regret it. And the prince did those tasks, so he sure. didn't have to die. It's sure. just now he's escaped.
Does the deathless part of Koschei mean that he is immortal, or does it mean that he doesn't kill anybody ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the prince and the princess are hurrying away on their horse, and they hear behind them, tramp, tramp. The prince jumps down, puts his ear to the ground, and says, "They are pursuing us." The princess says,
"Thanks, idiot. Glad we stopped."
The princess says, "Then we have no time to lose." And she transforms herself.
Yeah, it's like, dummy, get off the ground. We have to go.
We should keep moving, maybe.
Nope. She transforms herself into a river, turns the prince into a bridge, turns the horse into a raven, and makes a grand highway beyond the bridge divide into three roads. So she has just manipulated both their bodies and... Space
around them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just casually.
Yeah.
This is the biggest badass princess we've ever met. The pursuers hastened up the fresh track, but when they came to the bridge, they saw that beyond it disappeared and the highway divided.
And they Did they see a raven freaking out?
<'Cause> it...
that is true.
Just like flopping around on the ground.
Trying to rear and falling over.
Also whinnying somehow.
For some reason, the Grand Highway dividing into three roads means that there's nothing they can do, and they return empty-handed.
It's their one weakness.
When they tell him Boney what happened, Boney shouts with rage and yells at them that the bridge and the river were the prince and princess.
Obviously!
And how was it that you didn't guess it? Go back and don't return without them. Boy,
Boney and his daughters are just like on some next-level stuff. This is really advanced.
They are operating at levels far higher than we can perceive.
They are playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers or or Boggle or something.
Everyone else is playing marbles. The princess, who is constantly referred to as Princess Boney's daughter throughout the sequence, whispers that she hears the tramp tramp again. The prince listened to the ground and confirmed that this is true. So the princess turns herself, the prince, and the horse into a gloomy forest with roads, byroads, and footpaths without number. And she creates also the illusion that two riders were hastening away down the roads on a horse.
What?
Sure.
If she can do all this, why doesn't she just make a new planet to live on?
The pursuers come up, they see the fake fugitives, and they go running after them. They go on and on, always seeing a thick forest and a wide road. And when they think they're about to overtake them, the fake people suddenly vanish, and the pursuers find themselves in the place where they started.
How many times does this happen?
We can assume several, or just it happens once for a very long time. So they give up and return empty-handed to Immortal Boney. Boney is now foaming at the mouth with rage and calls for a horse, saying that he'll go himself, since he can't trust them. So he starts in pursuit. The princess says again she hears the tramp tramp, and this time it is Boney, my father himself. But the first church is the boundary of his dominion, and he won't be able to pursue us further. Give me your golden cross.
So he's basically like the lord of the underworld.
Yeah.
But he has jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's church-based.
And if you die outside of his jurisdiction, what happens to you?
Hades.
I don't know what exactly his underworld realm is controlling. Just he himself can't go past the church.
All right.
So the prince takes off his loving mother's gift and gives it to the princess. In a moment, she was transformed into a church. He was transformed into a priest, and the horse was transformed into the bell.
They're going to have to mercy kill this horse at the end of this, right? Like, after all the trauma that they put it through?
It has been a forest, and a raven, and a bell.
Like, it is not going to be able to run for very much longer.
Either they have broken it or it has transcended.
At that very instant came Boney. He shouts to the priest if he has seen any travelers on horseback, and the prince says, "Just now, Prince Unexpected rode this way with a princess, Boney's daughter." Again, every time she's mentioned. His full title. "They came into the church, performed their devotions, gave money for mass for your good health, and then ordered me to present their respects to you if you should ride this way." So, Boney returns empty-handed too.
Guess I gotta kill myself.
And he learns a lesson about forgiveness.
And Prince Unexpected rode on with the Princess Boney's daughter in no further fear of pursuit. They ride on until they saw before them a beautiful town, and the prince felt an irresistible longing to go there. The princess asks him not to go, as her heart fears misfortune there. He says, "I'll only ride there for a short time and look around the town, and then we'll proceed on our journey. No big deal."
And just want a window shop for a bit.
Yeah. She says, "It's easy to ride there, but will it be as easy to return? But if you really want it, I'll wait here in the form of a white stone until you come back. But be careful. The king and the princess, the king, queen, and the princess, their daughter," which she specifies for some reason, "will come to meet you, and with them will be a beautiful little boy. Don't kiss him. If you do, you will forget me. Don't kiss the beautiful little boy."
Yeah, I heard you. I thought she was going to warn him about the princess.
No.
That's pretty good advice. Generally speaking, I think.
Don't kiss strange little boys.
Don't kiss beautiful little boys.
Yeah. "If you do, you will forget me, and you won't set eyes on me in the world, and I shall die of despair. I will wait for you on the road for 3 days, and if on the third day you don't come back, remember that I perish, and perish all through you."
Making sure he knows who's to blame.
Yeah. The princess takes his leave and rides into town, not, like, concerned about all of these instructions at all.
To be fair, if I was presented those instructions, I would feel pretty confident in my ability to not kiss a little boy, too.
The princess turned herself into a stone. 3 days pass, and he doesn't come back. He had not obeyed her, and when the curly-headed chatterbox little boy rushed straight into the prince's arms, the prince was so captivated by the beauty of the lad that he kissed the child affectionately and immediately forgot the princess, Boney's daughter.
Oh, that little boy!
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the one that she was talking
right
about.
After. Like, that's probably the little boy she meant.
So when he didn't come back, the princess, Boney's daughter, transformed herself into a cornflower and sprang among the rye by the roadside in the hopes that someone will pull her up or trample her to the ground. Tears like dewdrops glittered on her petals.
Doesn't she just lay waste to this town? She can do what she wants.
Say, is her magic only illusion-based, or can she just decimate a village?
Seems like she can do whatever she wants.
Just as she finished being a flower, the old man comes along the road, sees the flower, and pulls it carefully from the ground. He carries it home, sets it in a flower pot, waters it, and begins to tend it lovingly. From the moment the cornflowers brought into his dwelling, all kinds of wonders began happening. When the old man awoke, everything in his house was already clean and set to order. At noon when he came home, his dinner was already at the table. The old man wondered at this, and then became terrified, and goes for advice to the old witch of his acquaintance in the neighborhood.
So he just start eyeing the flower suspiciously? What are you up to?
The witch tells him to get up before dawn and watch for what begins to stir first in the house, and whatever stirs first, cover it with a napkin. What will happen then, you will see. Which everyone keeps saying.
That's a pretty cop-out answer.
The old man stayed awake the whole night, and in the morning he sees the cornflower begin moving about the room while everything cleaned itself. The old man sprang out of bed and put a cloth on the cornflower, and it turned into the princess, Boney's daughter. She cries, "What have you done? Why have you brought life back to me again? My betrothed, Prince Unexpected, has forgotten me, and therefore I do not want to live."
Were they ever betrothed?
Yeah, I guess she just assumed.
I remember that happening.
When you escape with a prince, that's pretty much a marriage proposal.
Sure. I mean, this is what gets relationships in trouble, though.
The old man says, "Oh, hey, that guy, he's getting married today to the princess in the town."
You want I should go rough him up?
Princess Brony's daughter wept and then dressed like a village girl and went into the town. She came to the royal kitchen and goes to the clerk of the kitchen and asks sweetly the favor of baking a wedding cake for the prince.
with poison.
A special wedding cake.
As the clerk was busy, his first instinct was to just brush her off. But he saw her, and because she's really pretty, he decides that, yeah, she can do whatever she wants. And he'll hand the cake to the prince himself. So she bakes the cake, and all the invited guests are sitting at the table. The clerk takes the cake and places it before the prince, and the prince just cuts into it, and suddenly a gray tom pigeon and a white hen pigeon come out of the cake. And they dance on the table, singing, "Stay, stay, my pigeon love, oh stay. Don't from your true love flee away. Don't leave me here alone like this. The prince betrayed his true love with a kiss."
She's going the guilt trip route.
Yep. Via pigeon.
Yeah.
Pigeon guilt trip.
Yeah.
Prince Unexpected suddenly remembered everything, rose from the table, rushed to the door and opened it, and there was Princess Bony's daughter. They hold hands and walk down the corridor, and they see their horse just hanging out.
just like shaking.
Loyal horse.
They jump on the horse and ride to Prince Unexpected's father. The king and queen receive them with joy, and their wedding happened, and it was super great. The end.
Well, then. Number one, why does Immortal Bony want this prince at all? What is his purpose in demanding hostages?
Either he just wants some entertainment briefly, or this was a long scheme to marry off one of his daughters. And this is the only way of courtship he knows and accepts.
You're saying he has to do this 11 more times?
Yeah, Koshy the Deathless shows up in a lot of stories.
And in every one of them, he's just trying to empty his household out so he can pursue his hobbies in peace.
So he can hit the dating scene again.
Well, in the last story with Koshy the Deathless, it was the Russian tale with the Tsarevna frog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when her frog skin was burned, she had to go back to him.
Right.
And we never got why she was in the keeping of Koshy the Deathless.
Was she a daughter?
Maybe.
And that was an attempt to get her out of the house?
That's a possibility. Because she could turn into a frog, right?
Yes.
But because he's a fucking insane person, he built in a contingency to get her back somehow?
Yeah, if the prince doesn't respect her and burns her frog skin, then he has to come back and defeat a bunch of things to get her back.
I like this suggested character of a man who just, like, desperately wants his house to himself, but also wants to make sure his daughter's husbands are up to snuff.
Upstanding citizens.
I think Immortal Bony / Koshy the Deathless is a pretty endearing character overall.
Yeah, he's a very crazy doting father.
Who captures kings by the beard and giggles at them.
Yeah, but it has to be one of those two, because there's no reason for all of this. And they could leave whenever they wanted. Like, they didn't have to stay around for those first two tasks. Or presumably go back there at all. Like, if they just ran away.
Yeah.
I don't know why they couldn't have just met and been like, hey, do you just want to not go to Immortal Bony? Do you just want to leave and just cut out?
Save some time. We don't have to go down this hole.
I mean,
literally.
Maybe she's testing him out, too. Maybe she wants some time to get to know him.
If she did, what kind of impression did he make?
Apparently a good enough one.
I think this is really similar to the Master Maid. They share the Arne Thompson type. They both have, like, super badass ladies kind of in charge of everything.
The man learns his lesson from a hen at the end.
And a bird of some kind. Yeah. Pigeons this time.
Princes who just
aren't.
Can't.
Yeah. So.
And princesses who think that they can fix them.
I don't even know if it's fixing at this point, or this one is easy to manipulate. I got this.
Yes.
Is he just...
The princess and the master maid are both very competent women who can pretty much do anything that they want at any time.
Right. And now they have, like, a man larder to keep them fed and stuff so they can pursue their hobbies.
Maybe he's just a very malleable passport to the surface.
Sure. That's true, yeah. Yeah, if she's stuck in the underworld, maybe her influence is limited, and really she's just bringing Immortal Bony's powers past church lands.
They're slowly taking over.
Yeah.
That is his, like, he's setting up beacons around the world to extend his jurisdiction.
In the form of princesses.
Yeah.
Or towns that he controls through them.
Because the Tsarevna Frog is also pretty sharp.
Yeah. She's very capable.
And she's got a lot of magic, and that prince is an idiot.
Yes.
Who just whines about things.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of the running theme with the men that these very powerful women are coming across. I don't know that... I wouldn't assume the Master Maid is at all related to King Boney.
She didn't transform at all.
No, but she is just yet another smart cookie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we can headcanon that the Tsarevna Frog is his daughter.
Yes. I already did.
Sure.
So can we just, like, prop that horse up on a psychologist's couch and ask him, like, how's your life going, man?
I do want a diagnosis for that horse. If I could read the memoirs of any horse, it would be that horse.
It was his horse, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Not like hers?
The prince's horse?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how he got there.
So this horse is not used to this kind of treatment.
Presumably no. This horse has never
been
suddenly transmogrified against its will.
And yet maintains its fealty.
Well,
which is impressive.
Either that or it is so traumatized that
it's afraid to go anywhere or do anything.
It just develops instant Stockholm syndrome.
I don't always like to retread this ground, but is this like a horse meeting Cthulhu? Like, this horse has realized how powerless it is in the universe once it's turned into a church bell. Like, I have no power over my life.
It's not even the living tissue anymore. Like, the trees and the ravens.
Yeah.
That was something alive.
Right. I am a brass bell.
I want to check
Nothing I do matters.
I want to check in on this horse later. Like, let's say they turn it loose. Like, they set it free, figuring it's had enough of a rough time, and they set it loose, and then we come back to it years later, and it's, like, the head of an animal church, like, preaching the chaos and inevitability of the universe.
So, you've already determined that this is basically a video game. Like, you could translate this pretty...
I think you could if you want to play a main character that just stands around most of the time while other people do things.
It'd be very cutscene heavy.
It would. Like if it was an RPG, for a lot of it, you're just standing or following. Because this prince doesn't have really any agency.
That's true. Like, the only thing he really does is tell his dad, "No, it's cool. I'll deal with this bony fellow."
And then
there's one chapter about halfway through where he gains agency and wanders around for a bit, and then it resumes.
Yeah, he gets lost.
It resumes the railroad.
The other moment where he shows any gumption is when he says the words as a priest, like tells Boney to back
off. But he was instructed to.
Presumably.
I'm sure.
Presumably. Or she speaks through his mouth, and that's yet another power.
Right. Like, this game is about powerlessness.
The spittle spoke like him, right?
Yes, the spittle spoke with his voice.
Yeah, so she can manipulate his voice however she sees fit.
That's true. She just spat in his mouth. I love every scene that describes her actions because she's so nonchalant about these incredible powers she has.
Yeah, she flicks her wrist and a horse becomes a forest.
Like, she meets him and she blushes coyly and says, "Okay, this is what you have to do with my dad. We have to part now." Then she stamps the ground and hell opens up. I can't think of a more chill yet badass way to open a door to hell than you just, like, casually stamp one foot to the ground while staring this prince in the eye.
See you on the flip.
And then slow elevator descent to Immortal Boney's palace.
I pictured it as like a Tower of Terror drop. You're just going straight down.
I would watch this as a movie.
Yeah.
I would very much watch this as a movie. The spit moment's another favorite. Like, "You're not gonna die. We're gonna escape. And either we make it together or we die together. Whatever." And then spit And then, okay, let's go. Holds his hand and takes him out.
Do you have casting options?
I have...
Because I have one for her.
I do, too.
Okay. We'll see where they line up.
What's yours?
You go first, because you brought it up.
I was going to say Aubrey Plaza.
I was going to say Aubrey Plaza. All
right. seems like a tailor-made role for her.
I'm glad.
Like as soon as
there was parody there.
As soon as you started describing her, I was like, "This is April Ludgate at the height of her powers."
Yes, God, I would watch that. Can we make that happen? Can someone like tweet her and just say, "Hey,
anybody, read this story."
Anybody can tweet her.
You get to spit, and then it talks.
It's pretty cool. You're like one of the most badass fairy tale characters. I'm sort of mad that this Arne Thompson type is girl as helper in The Hero's Flight, because in both of them, girl is totally all the thing.
And not just idiot prince who follows girl with unimaginable power.
That is some history being rewritten, if ever there was any.
Yeah. Well, we know that Arne Thompson and Uther were all men.
What other casting options do we have?
Now we got Dum Dum Prince. We need him. He's got, like, he thinks highly of himself, because when he presents this to the king, he's like, no, I totally have this.
Yeah.
And under...
He's cocksure.
Right. And then he just easily and immediately transitions into, oh, I can't do that, I'm just gonna die. That's okay, you only die once.
Jason Bateman.
Interesting.
I feel like he does both of those things a lot.
I'm trying to hone in on somebody, but I can't quite place him. Somebody who thinks highly of themselves, but can't actually do anything.
Will immediately, and without, like, regret or shame or anything, just
give up.
Give in to failure. There's no existential concern or any thought that they're not actually that powerful. It's just, oh, I can't do this.
If you want another Arrested Development, then it would just be Will Arnett at that point.
That did cross my mind.
Like, I definitely can't do this now that I'm in the middle of doing it.
God, I kind of like that pairing a lot. That romantic lead pairing.
Will Arnett and Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah. I kind of love everything that is. We need Immortal Boney.
Yeah, we do.
And Immortal Boney has to be a badass.
I've been thinking very hard about who Immortal Boney could be. I kind of want him... Like, let's get... If he's CG, we know who we have to get.
Andy Serkis.
It's Andy Serkis again.
Right.
Doing his crazy movements.
Right.
But I don't know why, but I kind of hear Keith David coming out of him.
That could work. I like Keith David.
I don't know why.
He was Goliath.
Yeah. He's good at being both intimidating and comedic. Like, he can pull both of those off.
Yeah, he's good. Okay, that's a good option. Can we spitball a little bit more on Boney just to make sure we've covered all our bases?
Yeah, if you have other venues you'd like to go down.
Can we try a live action version?
Yeah.
And just see how that fits.
Practical effects. Like a Power Ranger suit.
You could, like, dress him up like Pan and Pan's Labyrinth, but as Boney, you know, get one of those super cool costume suits. Win best costuming for King Boney. Go for the gold.
All right. Because you said that, that is a new life goal. I want desperately someone famous to have to read the words, and for best costume, King Boney wins the Academy Award.
Immortal Boney.
Dustin Hoffman.
Okay. I could see that too. For the same reasons as Keith David. He can be both intimidating and comedic.
Yeah. He's method. He'll get deep into it. That's my first pitch. I don't know that I have a good backup, Boney.
I have never wanted to see a folktale brought to the big screen.
More than this one.
I want this so badly.
I will not move forward without Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, no, she is the perfect choice.
She is vital. So she's the key.
We just have to tweet at Aubrey Plaza, like, hey, get your buddies together. We gotta...
And by your buddies, we mean Will Arnett and Dustin Hoffman, or maybe Keith David.
I would accept Doug Jones as Immortal Boney also.
He's always a consideration for a character in a suit.
That one will require the most auditioning. That'll be the most rigorous auditioning.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else?
I mean, there's the king and the queen, but they're sort of minor characters.
Is the horse?
Does he need a voice?
Like an internal monologue?
Or anything, speaking lines? We can take some liberties. The horse can turn into some other stuff in the meantime. Yeah, there are no other roles of real consequence, right?
Yeah, anyone could just be whoever. I just want this to be a big budget Hollywood film with amazing costuming for Immortal Boney.
We know what Immortal Boney looks like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a frog.
Well, it's got a head like a tub with two giant green eyes, mouth from ear to ear.
Yeah, it's
and
a frog.
Crab claws.
Crab claws.
It's a frog with claws.
It's a crab frog.
I've just been imagining him as a frog with claws.
I'm sure that some...
And like a bone suit.
Some clever costume designers can interpret that in something that looks really cool and scary and dangerous. And also highly expressive, because he's maybe the most character of anyone in this.
What were you going to say?
No, I'm just trying to think of other characters that we could insert.
Maybe the king... We might as well throw someone out for the king.
He did have a part that lasted longer than any of the other tertiary characters.
Yeah, right. The story started out about him.
Yeah.
Right. So who's good at wandering
and then
the plains
things.
Looking for the well?
And then regret. Who does a good regret? Because that'll be the key part of his emotional character development.
Who does good regret? It's too bad Graham Chapman died.
And Alan Rickman.
That would be weird.
I know, but I kind of like that image of moaning Alan Rickman.
I like the image of Alan Rickman being Will Arnett's dad.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a...
Because that is a thing you have to consider also.
Who can feasibly play Will Arnett's dad.
Yeah.
I like not considering that. He is Prince Unexpected, so it's possible that...
He just came out as a full-grown Will Arnett.
Right. Or that, you know, they went 3 years of probably fairly consistent royalty boning without any son, and I don't know, maybe while King was gone on his journey,
became
an unexpected side effect of Queen's personal enjoyment.
Maybe. Chevy Chase.
I hate it, but I would go with it.
That was... You just made a face.
Chevy Chase makes me feel gross inside in general.
Why?
Just... Yeah. I don't know. I don't like those movies that much.
I've never seen any of those movies.
He is...
I know him mostly from Community.
I think he is obnoxious enough to pull off Will Arnett's dad.
Third aspect that should be considered is that he has a full beard to be grabbed. And I don't want to see Chevy Chase in a full beard.
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
Down to his waist. Does that make it better? Because there's like...
No. It makes it worse.
Mountain man beard that gets into the neck region.
Yeah.
And then there's wizard beard, which
right.
I think this king has.
Right. Definitely.
And those are very different looks.
Okay, so not Chevy Chase because we don't want to see him with a beard.
It's a very specific reason
and
not
presumably
to
neither does America.
You were perfect for this role, but you need a beard, and no one wants that. So, goodbye, sir.
Kevin Klein.
I feel a little better about that.
We're getting closer.
I made less of a face. The pain was lessened.
Kevin Costner.
I don't know where I am on the radar anymore.
I think we might be off the reservation. This father character is hard to nail down.
It is very hard.
Well, what's his name?
Oh, yeah, we've been overlooking this the whole time.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, of course. He already is his dad.
He's been in front of us this whole time.
George Bluth Sr. from Arrested Development.
He already had a dad, and it was perfect.
I could buy that, too. That sounds great.
I'm okay with him in a beard.
I'll also watch Jeffrey Tambor do... Like, play whatever. he's always funny. Yeah, okay, there we go.
All right, listeners. If any of you, like, We're like, what, 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon? Is that the number of degrees?
Yeah.
We're probably the same number of degrees from any of these people.
If anybody knows Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, talk to your people and have them talk to their people until this becomes a film. I want it more than anything we've ever talked about on this show.
What about The Old Man and the Witch?
What?
Oh, yeah. There's that brief scene where the old man and his neighborhood witch talk about...
Old Man Ed Asner.
Okay.
Cameo appearance.
Sure. What about The Witch? Does that need casting? Uncredited Kate Blanchett?
Queen Latifah.
Who did The Witch in Into the Woods?
Queen Latifah. Okay. Witch Into the Woods.
Meryl Streep?
Yeah, Meryl Streep. She'd be great.
Yeah. That's
just reprise that character.
That's a hard yes, always. As Margaret Thatcher. As this witch. Sounds like a cast.
All right, everyone, pull the strings of Hollywood. Let's make this real. I want Immortal Boney to win Best Costume.
So it is practical effects, we've decided.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to go.
So let's call up Guillermo.
Yeah.
Right?
To direct.
Guillermo del Toro loves folktales.
To consult, at least.
Yeah.
He'd be
a good visual director, at least.
I hear rumor he has a library of just folktales somewhere.
Probably.
I believe that.
And I want to be his buddy.
Who, is he, like, full director, or is he just visual director?
I'd give him everything. I don't care.
Is this...
He did a great job with Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Is this the next Del Toro-Kojima collaboration?
Sure.
Director of Metal Gear Solid.
Kojima is handling the video game adaptation.
Yeah, which obviously needs to happen.
We did say it was going to be a lot of cutscenes.
Yeah.
So.
Thinking about this directed by Del Toro makes me kind of want to cry with joy. I want this so bad.
So, we're pitching it as Pacific Rim 2, right? Just to trick him into doing it at first.
I feel like that won't last that long, but...
I don't think we need to trick him. Just make him listen to this story, and then he'll be
up his alley anyway.
Yeah, this is the best part of both Pan's Labyrinth and Pacific Rim thrown into one fairy tale.
We get to the part where we say, Immortal Boney, and he just signs a contract.
He just produces one from his sleeve and signs it in front of us.
He's been waiting.
It's pre-signed.
Been waiting for this day.
All right, well, let's get to work on that. So, no episode next week, because we'll be filming a movie.
Yes. Well, I'm sure by next week you'll have all mobilized your Hollywood contacts, and we can get going on this. Let's get a script written.
Yeah, we gotta get a treatment in the right hands.
So if you want to help us out, if you've enjoyed this show and you want to help us out by doing more than calling all of your friends in Hollywood, we have a Patreon set up, and any donation can help us pay our fees for making this show and our therapy bills.
But let's be clear, if it's one or the other, then call Aubrey Plaza.
Yes, absolutely. We will forgo Patreon money to make this real. But if you don't know her and you want us to keep finding stories that Aubrey Plaza could potentially star in,
kick us a buck or two.
Yeah, every little bit helps.
And if enough of you do it, then we'll be releasing some extra content and doing some other stuff, probably.
Yeah, side projects.
Yeah.
There's stuff in the works. We have a blog now.
Yeah, I need to write more on it.
You can go read that. You can watch our sampler, or listen to our sampler and look at some pictures.
Spread it around like a virus.
On our YouTube channel. If you enjoy the show and you feel like taking 30 seconds to just jump on iTunes and rate us and review us, that helps us a lot. Or just sharing one of these on Facebook or tweeting it.
And thank you again to the executive producers of this episode, Jump Kick Punch.
Go listen to them too.
They're pretty cool.
Soon to be executive producers of this movie.
We'll cut them in on it. They know people. Till next time.
All right, see you then. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.